administer the Army well, and you had to be able to work with sometimes difficult personnel. Lee was brilliant at that. I think he was very like Dwight Eisenhower during World War II in that regard. Just imagine what Eisenhower must have thought each morning when he woke up realizing that Montgomery and Patton were both still under his command. How am I going to keep these two prima donnas happy? Ike must have thought many times, and yet he managed to. He had a very deft touch. Lee was the same way as commander of the Army of Northern Virginia. He had difficult lieutenants as well. A.P. Hill, very prickly. Stonewall Jackson could be difficult. James Longstreet. All of these egos, all of these men who wanted to be in the limelight, wanted full credit for what they'd done. But Lee managed to handle them without ever having squabbles get into the newspapers. He managed to ease incompetent officers out of the Army without a trace. There was no article in the newspaper when this general or that general would leave. Lee got rid of John Bankhead Magruder. He got rid of Theophilus Holmes. He got rid of many officers he didn't think were up to their duties in the Army of Northern Virginia. But he did it very smoothly, very deftly, and he simply would not tolerate public squabbles among his subordinates. Well, that stands in great contrast to what happened in the Army of Tennessee after almost every battle. Part of the problem, of course, is that Bragg kept losing battles, and it's easier to have a poisonous atmosphere develop after a loss than after a win, but a good deal of it also is the skills at personnel that Bragg had on the one hand, or really didn't have, and Lee had in abundance on the other. After Chickamauga, Bragg's principal subordinate said that Bragg should have pressed the retreating Army of the Cumberland. How could you have passed up that kind of opportunity, was basically the question. The unstated part of that was, this is the only victory we've won out here in the war, and we fumbled our opportunity to make it an even greater victory. Bragg responded to this criticism by saying it had been his subordinate's fault. That's what had gone wrong with the battle. He was very unhappy with Bishop Polk. He was unhappy with others in his army as well. It got so acrimonious at headquarters for the Army of Tennessee that Jefferson Davis decided that he had better visit Army headquarters and try to straighten out this mess. He arrived. He spoke to the principals. In fact, he went right around the group of major subordinates and asked them point blank, should Bragg be retained in command or should he not? Right around, all of the major commanders said, get rid of Bragg. Bragg is a problem. We need new leadership. Longstreet said Joseph Johnston would be the man to bring in. Davis may actually have been thinking for a time anyway of making Longstreet the Army commander. That would have been a disaster. But Longstreet said that Joe Johnston was the man for the job. Davis, of course, his enmity toward Johnston made certain that he wouldn't make that change. Longstreet even wrote to the Secretary of War. He said, nothing but the hand of God can save us or help us as long as we have our present commander. Davis listened to all of this. He listened to Bragg's response, and in the end, he decided to stick with Bragg. It was an example, I think, of two things at work. One, there was no immediately available person that Davis thought would do a better job. Johnston was out of the question. But he also, I think, tended to be loyal to Bragg because Bragg had been so loyal to him in the past. The upshot is all of these unhappy subordinates are left in an army where the man they've said has to go is still their boss. And it is a very bad situation. Bragg got rid of two of his corps commanders, including Bishop General Polk. That was probably a good move. I mean, Polk was not a talented man. Polk had not done a good job at Chickamauga. He really hadn't done a good job anywhere as a Confederate soldier. So he is out of the army. Brigadier General Nathan Bedford Forrest, cavalryman who had led the only real Confederate pursuit of fleeing Federals after Chickamauga and had reported back to Bragg that Rosecrans's army was completely demoralized and should be harassed. He urged an immediate advance against the Federals. Bragg refused, but a week after the battle, Bragg and Forrest had a major confrontation, a really classic confrontation, an unbelievable one. Bragg had ordered Forrest to turn his command over to another cavalryman, and Forrest confronted his commanding general, face to face, and said, this is according to an eyewitness, "You have played the part of a damned scoundrel and are a coward."